2025 is here, and the pace of change has never been faster. Are you ready to thrive in a world where AI accelerates everything but can't replace the most essential human skills? That's why we've created a special 11-part series on the Learn It All podcast to help you master the skills needed to future-proof yourself and your career. From self-awareness to listening and developing trust, these are the traits that will make you irreplaceable in an ever-evolving workforce. I'm Damon Lemby, CEO of Learn It and two-time best-selling author, and I'll be your guide throughout the series. Joining me is Dr. Mickey Fitzcollins, Learn-It's top-ranked facilitator and a leadership expert dedicated to helping you grow. This series is brought to you in partnership with our good friends at MuchSkills, a platform that helps organizations map and understand their workforce capabilities. Drawing from insight from their survey of over 28,000 professionals, we'll unpack 11 skills in this weekly series that will prepare you to thrive in an ever-evolving world. If you enjoy this episode, please take a moment to rate and review on your favorite podcast platform. Your feedback helps us share this message far and wide. Let's dive into today's top skill. Today, we're talking about listening. And I think it's funny, there's a lot of people out there, probably myself included, who think we're great listeners, but we're really not. So how would you define what true great listening really is?
Yeah, you're absolutely right, Damon, with that, is that I think most people would probably say, oh yeah, I'm a super great listener, right? But really good listening has a lot of different nuances to it. And we're going to talk about that. We actually spend a lot of time in our Make Listening Your Superpower workshop talking about this. But really good listening is more than just hearing the other person's words. It's really about understanding the other person's perspective, their emotions, some of the nuance, you know, kind of how somebody got there. Really good listening is about empathy, right? And a lot of people think like, well, I heard the words that you said, and so aren't I a good listener? But there's actually some things, and we can get into this too, Damon, but there's actually some things that most of us actually engage in some like not so great habits around listening that are actually pretty common. So we're going to talk about that too.
I think that's fantastic to understand what are some common things that people are doing that we are all doing that are really not good habits to get into. So why don't we start off with a story that you have around listening and then get into some of the bad habits. And then we could even talk about our ear framework.
Yeah, absolutely. That's that. Yeah, our ear framework, which is perfect, right? We're talking about listening, EAR. We love our acronyms at Learn It, right? So we're going to talk about that. But yeah, I have a great story for you. This was quite a number of years back, but it's a story that really kind of rings true when you said, let's talk about listening. Kind of a time when I learned firsthand the power of active listening and how important this is in building relationships. And I had a supervisee who was a great supervisee. He and I had a great relationship, all this sort of stuff. But in our one-on-ones, I was the type of person that in those one-on-ones, I would get really excited about the things that he would say or something like that, that I would naturally either interrupt or I found myself kind of mentally jumping ahead, kind of thinking about solutions, next steps, all that sort of stuff. And I always thought of this as like, oh, I'm super engaged, right? And I would catch myself kind of doing the nod and smile sort of thing, but I wasn't really hearing kind of what he was saying in the moment. And one of the days, right, he was talking to me and just said like, yeah, you know, I'm feeling really overwhelmed. Like he shared that, you know, I just really feel overwhelmed. And instead of responding to the feelings and the experience, I immediately started listing off a whole bunch of solutions, delegating and time management stuff. And, you know, let's talk about prioritization, all this sort of stuff. Cause I'm like, I'm a helper, right?
And how did that make him, how did that make him feel? Do you think, by jumping in and listing off solutions?
Well, and here's the thing is like, we just kind of, I steamrolled right through it. Right. And we wrapped the meeting up and about 10 minutes after the meeting, I got an email from him cause he worked in across a campus from where I was. And I got an email from him. And it was a polite email. It was totally professional, right? But it was pretty pointed. And he said, you know, I don't feel like you really heard me in our discussion today, right? I wasn't looking for solutions. I wasn't looking for you to tell me the things that I've already been trying to do. I was looking for you to help me try to unpack how it was to carry the load, right? And I was like, oh. And that email really hit home because I was listening to the words, but I immediately jumped into supervisor mode instead of saying, hey, human being, tell me more about that experience right now, because he wanted to talk to me about his experience and about his feelings, right? And that was such a big turning point in our relationship, because I realized I was listening to fix and I was listening to manage and I was listening to supervise. I was listening with the idea of what to say next and how to respond and all of these sort of things that are some of these bad habits that I'm going to tell you about in a minute here. And once I had that aha sort of moment, once he created that aha moment for me, that was a total game changer in my relationship with him and my relationship with other folks, because I realized, oh, wow, I'm actually doing this in a number of other instances.
I think that's great. And you took the words right out of my mouth. It's a game changer. And I've had, you know, I've had the privilege again to interview so many great leaders. And one thing that really stuck out to me is with Doug Conant, you know, the famous CEO from Campbell Soup, is he said, you need to lead by listening. And he's like, that's first and foremost. So Mickey, why is listening such an important skill for not just leaders, but for everybody to have?
Yeah. And you know, I love that question. And it's such an important skill because I think many of us can say things that other people miss, right? Like whether it's like we're actually missing a word or we're missing a detail. But I think what happens in a lot of our workplaces is we do this kind of surface level transactional communication, right? Where we're just question, answer, problem, solution, let's make a decision, all this sort of stuff. And we don't necessarily listen to the tone pieces, the nonverbal pieces. We're not singularly focused on that other person, especially in remote work environments, screens and bings and dings and all sorts of stuff, right? I think it's so important. In fact, we know there's actually research over the last few years. It's actually even more important post-pandemic because people are striving for connection. They're striving to feel understood. There's Ralph Nichols, who's considered like the father of listening. He was a professor of communication back at University of Minnesota back in the 1950s and 60s. He said one of the most basic human needs is for people to be seen and to see others, right? To understand and be understood. And I feel like that is such an important and critical thing in our workplaces these days, is that people want to feel like we have connections with one another. And those connections, that empathetic understanding, that's the stuff that leads to creativity, innovation. That's what allows us to make great decisions and solve problems. I was just facilitating our Make High Quality Decisions workshop earlier today, and we talked about listening quite a bit there. It's the recipe that, or it's kind of the core ingredient to so many recipes in terms of success in the workplace.
So share with us some bad habits that are really common out there these days for listening.
Yeah, yeah. Well, we both are doing one of those right now, which is thinking about what to say next, right? And I always share that one as the first one because, you know, I'm going to share, Damon, these bad habits, and I put it in quotes because I don't want anybody to feel like shamed or blamed or anything. How I always like to explain it to people is if we could possibly remember when we were first developing language, right? And you and I are both parents, and so we've been through this, right? Little kids, when they're first acquiring language and we're teaching them how to participate in conversation, I probably on a daily basis, my wife and I are reminding our four-year-old of like, we're talking right now, please wait, right? But what we teach little kids is one person talks and then the other person talks and then the other person talks and the other person talks, right? This kind of tennis match sort of thing.
And good luck with that. From a,
right, right. Exactly. But you know, what we're taught is that we should have something to say to kind of volley back and forth, right? And the older and older we get, right? Like that's what is reinforced in school. That's what's reinforced in conversations. We think about as we develop kind of positive regard for people in our social and work circles, oh, they're such a good conversationalist. They really know how to keep the conversation flowing. All of that stuff, if you think about it, it's actually it's kind of under this umbrella of bad habit of thinking of what to say next. Because if we're in this place, and again, we do it all the time and we're doing it right now, right? If we do this, we naturally stop listening to like maybe the last one third or last quarter of what we think somebody else is saying, because we're starting to prepare like my on-ramp back to the thing that I'm saying, right? So that's one of them, is this idea of thinking of what to say next.
Before we move on to the second one, I just want to double down. You know, for everybody who's listening to this that's in sales, one of the greatest tips that I've ever received is that when you're meeting with a customer or a prospect and they're sharing with you some of their pain points or their challenges, you know, it's very common for you to start formulating in your mind, what am I going to say next? And not only doing that, but jumping in and responding, right? And saying, like, I think I'm helping them because I want to respond. What great sales professionals do is that they let some silence happen and continue to listen, because a lot of times if you just give it a second or two, Mickey, the client will share with you even more gold. But if you jump in and start talking, instead of giving them an opportunity to listen, you may miss out on second and third level challenges that your company could help serve them with. So that's just a point I wanted to share.
Yeah, that's a great point. And actually relates to the second kind of pitfall that I would share with you, which is this idea of kind of listening with a predetermined goal. We do this in the workplace all the time, right? Like, I'm listening, waiting for somebody to share an important number or metric, or I'm waiting for somebody to say some word that feels like the magic word, or I'm waiting for somebody to say yes or no or whatever it might be. If we're listening with a predetermined goal, we kind of tune out, right? If you think of, you know, the old school radio dial, right? We kind of go to the fuzz a little bit and then we come back in, right? That's kind of that second one, is listening with a goal. The third one, I think also super common, is distractions, right? Being distracted by whatever external factors, literal noise, physiological noise, psychological noise, the bings, the dings, the, you know, Teams messages, Slack messages, phones, all of that sort of stuff. Anything that gets in the way of my connection with that other person, right? And we see this all the time, right? You know, where we're talking with somebody else and then all of a sudden you're on video with somebody, and then you see them, they go over here, right? And you're like, oh, they're looking at their phone or something, or they're off to the screen or whatever that is. And you know in that moment, like, oh, I just lost them, right? Like, there's a distraction. It's one thing to be like, oh, I heard a noise over there. What's going on, right? It's another thing to know, like, I just lost the attention of that person. So that distraction piece. And that's a hard one. The last one, Damon, that I think I see most commonly, and the good news, there's things we can do about this. We're going to jump into that year model in just a moment here. But the last one is judging while listening. And people don't like to be, you know, we don't like to hear that we're judging, right? But this is how humans, this is how we make sense of the world. This is how we organize. This is how we understand things. Where it becomes dangerous is when we're listening to that other person and saying, we have this narrative of, do I agree? Do I disagree? Are they right? Are they wrong? When are they going to stop talking? Are they stopping talking? Are they winding down? Are they going to say some more? Oh my gosh, like, this is, you know, we have this whole narrative going on and it becomes problematic.
That's so great. And I've really tried hard over the years to get better at not judging, and really having more of an open mind. Because a lot of times, if you are judging, Mickey, what happens is you shut yourself off even to the idea that something else could be different and better. So thanks for sharing those three. Let's jump into the AIR model and a little bit about what we cover in the Learn It class.
Yeah, absolutely. So our workshop, the Make Listening Your Superpower, I love it because I love the idea of superpower. It makes me think of, you know, DC and Marvel and like flowing capes behind us, all this sort of stuff. But listening really is, in a professional context and a personal context, is a superpower. And in this, what we do is we talk about the EAR model. So EAR, right? You think about the ears on your head, right? The E stands for engagement, right? And engagement means essentially presence, focus. Do what we need to do to, you know, put the phone away, get rid of those distractions, turn the bings and the dings and the bouncing icons off, giving people full attention, even in a virtual setting like this, right? Squaring ourselves up to the camera, right? Minimizing other windows, other screens, maybe even making eye contact with the camera as we both do, right? Like, these sort of things matter. Engagement is, you know, the thing that we always say is, don't blow it with multitasking. Oh, well, I can do this and I can look over here and I can do this over here, right? What that does, obviously, is that diminishes the quality of the interaction. We do need to be mindful, too, of thinking about our spaces and places. One of the things, you know, as you know, I spend all day, every day in workshops with people all over the country, all over the world. There's so many times, right, somebody's in a car or they're in a coffee shop and you get all that ambient noise that's going on. And you're like, what is going on? Like, I can't even listen to that person because there's so many different visual distractions or auditory distractions. So the first piece about E, engagement, is really about presence and about focus, okay? The A part stands for attunement, okay? And attunement is kind of an interesting sort of word. We're talking about psychological attunement, but the story I always share, Damon, and I'm sure you can relate to this, is if you've ever been to a middle school band concert, right? And those cute little kids, the band director has them, you know, arms up, has them play middle C, and us in the audience, right, our ears are like bleeding, right? Because we're hearing like 40 or 50 different versions of that middle C.
So bad, yeah.
But it's so bad. It's so bad. And I was in band for many, many years. Yeah. I loved it. But yeah. As an adult now, I tell my parents, like, I'm like, I'm so sorry.
So,
Mickey, are at every concert.
My band story will take about 30 seconds, is when I was in fifth grade, I had to play the trumpet and I faked it during every concert. So there you go.
Oh, no. I was a trumpet player, but I definitely didn't play, didn't fake it. But, and I just heard the other day, my daughter said, I want a trumpet. And I was like, oh, gosh, here we go. Right. But attunement, right, if we think about that, that's the physical attunement, right, where we're like trying to get notes in tune with the person next to us in band or something. But when we're talking about attunement in terms of listening, really it's about empathizing with the speaker, trying to understand their perspective, right? And when we talk about empathy, right, there's a difference between empathy and sympathy. Empathy is feeling with that person. Sympathy is feeling for them, right? And when we talk about perspective taking, it's not, oh, I agree with that. That's what people like kind of get confused with empathy a little bit, but it's understanding how you got to where you are, right? So how you made a decision, how you ended up in the situation that you are, really trying to sit in that person's seat, walk in their shoes, whatever it is, and really about kind of tuning in to not just the words that somebody else is saying, but the meaning behind those words, right? A lot of this in spoken language, we pick up through tone changes, through volume changes, speed, our register, right? Like that's what causes us to kind of tune in of like, oh, you're speeding up, you're slowing down, you're raising your voice, you're lowering your voice, right? But attunement really is about kind of trying to get really curious about that other person, okay? So engagement, attunement, the third part of things, E-A-R, is respect. Now, the first two, engagement and attunement, are really about that other person, really zoning in on that other person and trying to really be with them. The respect piece is really the stuff that we're trying to do individually. And it's really about trying to withhold as much of that judgment as possible. I don't say be non-judgmental because I really don't know that humans can actually be non-judgmental, but we're trying to withhold that judgment, listen without interrupting, which is really challenging for me. I will acknowledge that one through and through. But try to do what we can to keep an open mind. There might be other alternatives. There might be other explanations, right? And remembering, and this is what I think is really important, is that conversation is not a competition. It's just conversation, okay? So that's the ear model, engagement, attunement, and respect. And we talk about this, you know, again, we have a whole entire workshop. I would love if people join us for that workshop. But we talk about this in all different aspects of work, whether it's about resolving conflict or negotiating, performance management, giving and receiving feedback. It's all about how we listen.
Mickey, earlier on you mentioned, because I was listening, that being a better listener helps you make better decisions. Share with us how that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, when we think about making decisions, you think about what is the problem that you're actually trying to solve for, right? Like what is the gap that you're trying to fill, the opportunity you're trying to go after, whatever that is. And so much of that, I think, is listening for criteria, for boundaries, for opportunities. I always think about kind of like what is the obstacle somebody's raising up that might actually be an opportunity that would allow me to make a better decision or a decision that's maybe a little more strategic. And, you know, I think if we could quantify throughout our days, we make hundreds of decisions every single day. And whether it's about do we or do we not hit the snooze button, or do we not invest in something that's going to significantly change our business or something. But if we don't pay attention, if we're only kind of 25% phoning it in, listening, we're going to miss critical details. We're going to not really hear somebody, like my example, not really hear somebody when they're saying, I'm emotionally struggling with something. We're not going to hear the fine point detail of something that might make a big difference in how or when or where or why we make a decision. And so I think there's so much to be said for, again, that idea of presence and engagement The other things come after that, but that's the core piece, I think, that makes a big difference to us when it comes to making decisions, is we have to be fully present. If we expect to make a really good decision, then we have to hold ourselves to the expectation of being a good listener through the process.
How can somebody self-reflect or understand if they are a good listener or not? How can they assess themselves on being a good listener?
Yeah. It's interesting because the first thing I thought of when you asked that, I was like, don't self-assess, ask as their people, right? Ask the people closest to you. But we can talk about that in a second. But I think self-assessing, we go through a pretty cool self-assessment in our workshop about kind of our level of distraction and how focused we stay. I think it's about kind of taking a measure of yourself. And maybe even, you know, throughout your workday, as you find yourself, if you're a passive participant in a meeting, just kind of check in with yourself every 10 minutes or so of how well am I doing in terms of maintaining eye contact? Do I understand how the other person is thinking and feeling? Are there any details that I realize that I have misunderstood or something like that? I think kind of checking in through those sort of things. If you're a meeting facilitator, right, you know, you're kind of the person who's in charge of running that particular meeting, I would take note of how many times have I made space for silence? How many times have I interrupted? How many times have I talked over somebody? How many times did I say the same thing that somebody else said without realizing, right? And just do a little bit of that sort of stuff. I think that's really good self-assessment to do. But honestly, Damon, I would say start with the people closest to you. There's this thing called the closeness communication bias that actually says this kind of comes out of the world of sociology and psychology, is that we actually engage in our worst listening behaviors with the people that we're closest with, right? Spouses, children, close friends, close colleagues, because these are high trust relationships, right? And when we have high trust, we also feel like we don't have to work on being the best version of ourselves all the time, right? Because this person trusts us, we know them, we can predict them, they can predict us. But the problem is that we probably get a little sloppy with our listening behaviors with those people that we're closest to, right? And so I think ask a spouse, ask a colleague, right? How do you think I do in terms of listening? And the most important thing is that we have to be willing to hear that feedback and do something about it.
I think that's so good. I never really thought about that. But it's true, is the people closest to us, maybe we don't think we need to listen to them as much because we're already on a certain level with them. So how do you go about asking them how I'm doing? Do you just come out and say, hey, mom, am I a good listener? Or what would you do?
Yeah. Well, I'm at, I don't know if I would say I'm at an advantage or a disadvantage, but I'm married to a psychotherapist, right? So it's literally in her academic and professional training to be like the best listener there is. And so I will ask her, and she's very, very honest with me about, you interrupt because you get really excited, but it's still disrespectful, like that sort of stuff. I think, you know, those people that you're closest to, they're going to share feedback with you that is going to be that growth-oriented feedback because obviously they care about you, but they're also going to be honest with you because of caring about you. So I would start with those folks. I think thinking about in a work environment, one of the best things that you can do, and I mean, this has to do with both listening as well as giving and receiving feedback, is asking colleagues or coworkers, you know, whether it's, could you review this recording, or, hey, we've facilitated some meetings together or anything like that. I'm looking for some feedback on these three specific things, right? So you give somebody some criteria and say, this is like, I could say the ear model, but I'm really looking for some feedback about how engaged you believe I am, and how tuned into the other people in the meeting, right? Could you give me some pointed feedback on those two pieces? Then you go out there and ask a couple of people, hey, I'd like to have some feedback on this, right? I did that a while back with our sales colleagues, right? Of like, I'd like to have some feedback on when I participate in meetings with some of our clients of, you know, how do I show up and what is that? What does it feel like? And how well am I contributing and stuff? And you give people that criteria, I'd like feedback on these three things. People will give that back to you, right? Because they want to help you grow. Nobody's going to say like, oh, Damon, I'm here to like really knock you down and tell you you're a horrible listener, right? No, here's the things that I've noticed, right?
Mickey, when somebody attends our Make Listening a Superpower workshop, what are two or three of the behavior changes or differences that they will make, not only for themselves, but for the team members that they lead?
Yeah, a couple of things. And, you know, I love that you asked that, because I always try to encourage folks, if they want to, you know, get connected to me on LinkedIn and stuff. And I have all these ongoing conversations with people. I get messages usually like 2-4 days after a workshop of like, hey, Mickey, I put this into play and here's what happened. And what I find from a lot of people is one of the biggest things people get attuned to in themselves is interruption. And so I hear from a lot of folks is that I'm a lot more mindful of not talking over or talking through somebody else. Just the other day, I had somebody message me and say, I find myself slowing down a little bit more and making a little bit more time for the pause, or instead of responding with a statement or like with a answer or response, I'll respond with a question to like keep probing that other person. So I think those sort of things, I mean, question asking is kind of a subset skill of listening. But I think the making space, I see a lot of people talking about interruption, kind of being more mindful of that, asking really good questions would be kind of the big takeaways that I hear from people from that.
Excellent. As we wrap up here now, Mickey, what is one more piece of advice or something else you want to share with our listeners before we close out?
Yeah, I think the sprinkles on the ice cream that I would offer about listening is to come back to the one thing that for many of us, we don't even know that we have control over, and it's our nonverbal presence, right? How we use our body, how we motion with our hands, how we make eye contact, our tone, all of that sort of stuff, especially in a virtual environment, but definitely in an in-person environment. This sends a volume of information to the other person, right? Whether it's, and it's not that we need to be staring at the other person or be 100% squared to them and not move at all. But when we're, you know, when we move our bodies away from somebody else, when we're, I can think of a work environment in the past where my desk and my computer was oriented where my back was to the door, right? And so when people would come in, I would kind of talk to them over my shoulder, right? Those sort of things. Be mindful of what your physical presence is and how that relates into listening, because people pick up on that all the time. Again, the most common thing in the virtual environment is the distraction. You can tell other people have other screens or phones or things like that. The in-person environment is just how well are we physically orienting ourselves without obstacles to the other person. But nonverbals matter, right? They send a lot of clues and cues to each other.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think great leaders want to take the time to get to know their people. And I think you defeat the purpose if you get on a Zoom or meet with somebody in person, you ask them how their family is, and you immediately start looking at your phone or sending an email to somebody else. It erodes that trust. I mean, Mickey, you've been awesome today. And can you, first of all, I'd like you to just recap the IRRA model and then tell everybody where they can connect with you at.
Yeah, absolutely. So that IRRA model, this is a cornerstone model for us. We talk about it in our Make Listening Your Superpower workshop. EAR, engagement, attunement, and respect. So engagement is about presence. Attunement is about listening not just to the words that somebody else is saying, but really the feelings and the nuance behind it. And respect is about trying to withhold as much judgment within yourself for what's going on with that other person. So that's our IRRA model. If you are looking to get in touch with me, LinkedIn is absolutely the place to go and find me out there. You just search Mickey and Learn It and you'll find me out there. Love and would welcome people to get connected. If you want to ask more questions about that workshop, or if you want to get set up for a seat in one of those upcoming workshops, I'd be glad to help you out with that.
And I have to emphasize that you're awesome on LinkedIn. So we'll have a link to connect with you. Definitely connect with Mickey. We'll also have a link to our Making Listening a Superpower. And for our listeners out there, if you're looking for a great book, you should also check out my book, The Learn It All Leader. We talk about the traits and tools of what it takes, I think, to be a great leader these days. And you can find The Learn It All Leader on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, wherever you buy books. And until next time, everybody, stay curious, keep learning, have a great day. Bye. Define for me what authentic leadership is.
What we're really talking about, Damon, is leadership that's grounded in transparency, ethics, integrity, And the big one here is emotional intelligence, right? Just kind of this idea of self-awareness and self-management. When we take those steps as leaders to really kind of open ourselves up of the positive changes that we can have for the team, which then result in these huge positive changes for the overall organization.